Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello, I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining with me today in the studio is Pat and Chris, and we're excited to be with you today. What a week of just, my goodness, listen, if you're missing VFN Radio and you just tuned in, you miss a day, you miss a lot. We've been talking so much just about everything the Lord's been sharing with us. We are excited for what God is doing right now on the face of the earth. These are some of the most exciting days that you can be alive. And if you don't know that, you're going to be walking around, you know, wishing that maybe you lived in a different time or a different era. You're going to be walking around not understanding that, my goodness, this is the day. I mean, this is the hour, the time to be here, to be alive. And I think it's the greatest hour for the church yet. I mean, we have seen some really great things happen throughout the church, throughout the years. We've seen some horrible things happen. But I really feel that where we are right now on the huge grid, God's grid, I think that this is the greatest hour to be born again.
That's right.
I mean, we're about to see the largest harvest of souls. I mean, 1 billion souls come into the kingdom of God. And, you know, we've been talking about in what the Lord's been sharing with us that, you know what? There are tough times coming. No doubt. There are tough times coming. You look, we are presently in tough times. But listen, if the Jesus is your Lord, if he is your God, if you're walking with him and abiding with him and you have a relationship with the Lord, let me say, the Lord's going to see you through. And this is your time. This is your season to walk with him and do all that you can do. You know, once it's over with, Chris, once it's done and they're at your funeral, that's it.
That's right.
All the woulda, coulda, shouldas, wish I had, regrets, they're all, you know, it's done. But you only have one moment. You only have one chance to give all that you have, to live life with purpose, passion, and power for the Lord. Because when it's all said and done, I mean, regret's such a horrible word. You don't want to look back and be like, oh my goodness, I could have done that, and I could have done this. Oh my, failed opportunity here. You can avoid tomorrow's regrets by living in the present, and not living in the present just so that you can do stuff for yourself, but living in the present so that you can give everything that you have for the Lord. Listen, the only thing that matters, the only thing that remains is what is God's. And if you are invested anywhere else but the kingdom of God, you're going to be sadly disappointed. You want to take all your investments. You want to have everything that you have in your life. You want to be present yourself fully to the Lord, and you want to give. You want to give lavishly to the things of God, to the furtherance of his kingdom. Because let me tell you something, his kingdom is going to advance, and you want to be a part of it. You want to be a part of it. So I'm just excited today, and I know that we have a great program in store for you, and just God's going to encourage us. But I want to encourage you, listen, seize the moment, seize the day, because we are living in the church's finest hour. And if you're not aware of it, it's going to slip you by. It's going to pass you right by. You're going to say, oh my God, what happened? And I've experienced some great seasons and great things that the Lord has been doing. A bunch of us have. And once they're over, they're over. But the awesome thing about God is God's doing a fresh thing. There's a new wave coming. And if you can discern it, you can get on the wave. You can experience all that God has for you. Don't let the bus pass you. There's nothing like missing a ride,
oh my goodness,
missing a flight. Mm-hmm. I've missed them quite a bit. You know, I've had some experiences, you know, where you miss the train, it's gone. I'm gonna wait here again, or I'm gonna miss. Yeah. I missed the bus. I missed right. my. You
missed
know,
your appointment.
I missed it, and it's done. Mm-hmm. And you're like, ugh. If I had just prepared a little bit earlier, how many times does that happen in life where you just miss something? You just miss something by just a couple of points, or just a couple of minutes, or just a little short of a couple dollars. You forfeit it all. You lose it all just for that little bit. There's so many things. I mean, you even look at sporting games. I mean, how many games and championships have lost in the last 2 minutes? Yeah. In the last, you know, little bit that was left.
Right.
It was over.
And to lose by just 1 point.
Oh.
And that's all it takes.
Just one.
Doesn't matter if you lose by a 20 or 30. Just one. That's all one. It takes that's to right. lose.
That's right. Between a W and an L, win or a loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that means that everything that was done at that time, it's like, oh, we gave all of this and we blow it here. I want to tell you that we've come too far. We've paid too much of a price to miss it now. Let me tell you, if you've endured and you're going after God, don't miss it now. And right before God's Spirit's about to pour out in an awesome way, the enemy tries to bring a counterfeit. He tries to lull people to sleep. You know, maybe you can. He's Satan singing his little
lullaby.
You know, and maybe you're being whisked and pulled away, and your eyes are getting, you know, heavier. And you're getting a little bit sleepier. And the bed's getting a little bit more comfy, and the pillow's feeling so good. And the bed is so warm. It's a trap. Listen, the greatest day is right now. Today's the day of salvation. Today the kingdom advances. And if you're still alive, and I think you are if you're listening, you want to be awake. You want to be ready. And you don't want to lose in the final hours, in the final minutes. I think about the 10 virgins. Man, they were ready. They had, you know, five of them had, they all had the oil, but the other five, they weren't ready. Their oil ran out. And Jesus is coming back at a day and an hour that no man knows, not even Jesus himself, except the Father. And five of those virgins, they weren't ready. They didn't have oil. And so at the last minute, at the last second, they were running around trying to get oil for their lamps, and they missed. They missed what was happening. You don't want to miss. You don't want to miss, because let me tell you, there's going to be a suddenly. And when the suddenly of God comes, when the suddenly of God moves in, I mean, it's all there's time to do is just get on in, get in, get in, get in. But you don't want to play catch up. You don't want to say, oh, no, I need a learning curve here. No, you want to run and move with the Spirit of God, because it's just a wonderful and amazing thing. So I want to encourage you, don't lose it in the last few seconds and minutes of life. Don't allow the enemy to lull you asleep. Stay awake. Be a watchman on the wall. Be one that is ready, 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 ready to go after God in this day and hour. Because let me tell you, many, many people are going to come to the Lord, and you can play a part of it. I mean, the only thing that we can take with us, and I say this often because, you know, life today, you see on television programs, you see on commercials, it's all about getting things and stuff and wealth. And it's like, I mean, let's zoom out of this picture here for a little bit. Do we not all see that we can't take any of this stuff with you? Right. If you look back at older movies and you notice that, and I like to think about these things sometimes, and maybe it's a little weird, but you know, you look at older movies and you realize that at that moment of whatever, you know, that period, whether it was the 50s or the 60s or the 70s, you'll see that they had maybe the latest technology or thing that was going on. And he's walking around with an 8-track or something. And he's like, oh, yeah, man, this is cool. Or somebody's walking around with a big old brick, you know, telephone, and they thought that was the thing.
A big phonograph with a big, huge horn coming off a record player. Like, what is that?
Wow. That was the thing where they have the, you know, they've got new furniture. It's got plastic on it. You know what I'm saying? That was the thing at the time, and people were living for all of that, or even the latest car. You know, they look at it, and you look back, and you say, well, gee, that 1970 Lincoln Continental doesn't look all that cool now, does it? I mean, it's like, it fades away. It's all temporal. That's all just kind of living for the moment, but in a different generation. Just a few years later, just a decade later, what used to be cool, like that beeper hanging on the side of you look at it now, it's a dinosaur. What the heck was that thing?
What's a beeper? All right.
But that thing that looked so cool back then means nothing. Mm-hmm. But yet so many people are giving themselves to toys and things and stuff and computers and tablets, and they're living to acquire all this stuff that just even in a decade, in a few years, it means absolutely nothing, and people mock it. Imagine what that's going to look like in eternity when you look at a pile of stuff and things and toys that amounted for nothing, that have no value, not even in the natural realm. It has negative value, if you will, in the spiritual realm. I mean, a beeper is worthless today.
Pretty much, yeah.
But in the eyes of God, all of those things, can you imagine the mountain of stuff and have the stuff testify? It's like, oh my goodness, okay, so all of this stuff represented your life. Well, how exactly does that represent my life? Well, you worked for a living, and you exchanged your life, your energy, your talents, your resources, your education, your skill set for this thing called money. And then you used your money, which was your life that you gave for it, right? Because you worked. And then you took this money and you bought stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how your stuff is representative of your life. But imagine if you took the resources that God gave you and you invested it in a thing where moth and rust does not destroy. And you invested it in an area that was going to give eternal significance and value. It's the kingdom of God. You're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven when you fully give yourself and your resources to the things of God. Let me tell you, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. There's a lot of people investing resources and monies and a lot of things. But let me tell you something. The greatest place for you to invest your resources today is going to be in the kingdom of God, where no moth or rust can destroy, but where eternal value and eternal return on your investment will live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I tell you, I mean, I like what Mike Bickle says. Mike Bickle says, it's not that I don't like a reward. He says, he lives very conservatively. He says, it's not that I don't like a reward. I like a reward, but I want my reward to be in heaven. I'm not living for this temporal stuff here. I want my reward in heaven, and I like that. I want my reward in heaven too. Yeah. And you can as well be rich towards the things of God, be rich in the kingdom of God, and give all that you can. I mean, I love the Macedonians. You know, they excelled in this ministry of giving. And Paul takes two chapters in Corinthians, two chapters, to talk, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, about giving generously and sowing. And he talks about the Macedonians. He says, in two things we're working for them, in their extreme poverty and their overflowing joy, they gave liberally. They gave, you know, extremely, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They were, as much as they were able and beyond their ability. And you look at that today, and I just say, wow, man, that is so awesome. That's such people with character and integrity and so filled with the things of God that they realize that their true wealth, like Abraham saw, because Abraham was so rich, you know, as he lived in the land, but he really knew that his true wealth and riches were internal and eternal. And when you get that revelation that your true riches are internal and eternal, and they cannot be taken away from you, then you begin to turn your heart and you begin to really invest not only your life, your energy, your talents, your resources, but you start investing your monetary funds to the advancement of God's kingdom. Because at the end, when it's all said and done, and I've been to a bunch of funerals in my life, more than I can, I mean, I can't even count anymore. When it's all said and done, you can't take this stuff with you. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse.
Mm-mm.
But what you do see, what you can take, and what would be a great reward for you, is going to be all the people that have come to the Lord because of your giving.
Right.
That's going to be a beautiful day. Can you imagine?
Man, it's going to be awesome.
Can you imagine that this dot connected to this dot and that gift connected to that gift and you sowed in faith and this happened and this word went forth and this person gave their life to the Lord and then that person led, you know, 100 people to the Lord and that, you know, just kept, it just exponential growth. Exponential growth.
Right.
Because you stepped outside yourself. And I just want to encourage you, listen, it's the finest hour of the church. It's the finest day, I think, to be alive. because God's getting ready to do great things. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Let me tell you something. God is about to do something that if he told you, you wouldn't even believe it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Is it okay for employees to keep religious items on their desk? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, my workplace was asked me last night to take down a Christian calendar of mine, and they gave the answer that it's Home Depot property, I guess the wall, and wanted me to take it down. I just wondered if this is right.
Well, Angie, it depends on the policies of the employer. For instance, some employers say you have to have, they'll allow certain types of things displayed in the workstations, and they're very limited and very suspect as to what those will be. Others are much broader. And some, in a situation when it's usually a religious sentiment, and it may even be, a situation where they think that if you have up a calendar that has a Bible verses on it, they might think that they're somehow violating federal law. You have the right to have that material out there.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, when you think about, John 15, where Jesus says, he tells us, right before he's going to go to be with the Father, he says, all these things basically that I've asked of you, it's impossible to do, to bear fruit. But it can be done. It's possible to do on your own, but you can do it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ and abiding with him. And he said, my Father's the gardener, and he is the vine, and we're the branches. I mean, we all have to work together in this. And, abiding is so important, but it's so easy. So many people have made it so religious that they sing it is, it seems totally impossible, but it's not impossible. That's religion telling you it's impossible. As a matter of fact, I want Jamie to be able to tell you. Jamie is 6 years old, and he abides with the Lord. Just hear it in Jamie's own word. This is what your life should be like when you abide.
My name is Jamian, and I'm from Texas, and I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder. And I think that what will we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following him. If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit. And if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it, because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord. And the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
Jamie is 6 years old. He's abiding with God, and all we did, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask Jamian?
All I asked him, what is your name?
What is your name? What you heard was a young man who's 6 years old who is abiding with the Lord. Listen, it's very simple. Religion's made it difficult. I mean, everybody wants to. You need a simple plan. A simple plan that even a six-year-old can follow. Listen, God loves you, wants to spend time with you. He hasn't, it's not impossible what he's asked you to do, but it's impossible to do it on your own. You can do it with an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to find out more? Go to iabide.org. We have a plan waiting for you, a simple plan waiting for you. It's at iabide.org. Request your plan there, and it'll come to you immediately.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John, and joining with me is Pat and Chris. And we're talking about, if you missed it before the break, we're talking about, listen, this is the church's greatest and finest hour, and you don't want to be caught falling asleep. You don't want to be caught lulled away by the enemy as he's singing a lullaby, because right before God's getting ready to do something, let me tell you, the counterfeit always shows up. And the enemy will try to do everything that he can to derail you from walking into the blessing, the outpouring, the move of God in your life or in your city, in your community, amongst your gathering, church gathering. And let me tell you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. You have to fight to stay awake. You got to fight to be alert. And you have to decide in your heart that you're going to be a watchman on the wall and that you're going to seize the opportunity that God is going to allow to come by. Think about when Jesus was ministering throughout all the different cities, and he would travel from place to place. Let me tell you, Jesus was on the move. He didn't stay in one particular town. He didn't stay in one particular region. He would abide, right? He would get up early, right, in the morning, and he would seek the Father. And the Word tells us that he didn't do anything that he didn't see his Father doing. And so God, the Father, was downloading him what he wanted Jesus to do,
right,
where he wanted Jesus to go. Mm-hmm. And he went. And there were some people that were radically blessed and touched, and their lives were changed forever because they encountered the Lord. But then there was other people that they heard about that Jesus moving. They heard about that Jesus coming. They had heard the testimonies. They've heard people come back and say, listen, I was blind and now I see, and this man, and he came. And I'm sure when the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, I'm sure when she went back, the Word of God tells us after she had an encounter with the Lord, I believe it's in John 4, she had an encounter with God, and she goes out now to tell the village people. And then as the disciples walk up on the scene, there's a bunch of them now coming back with her. Now, the Word of God tells us that there was a huge gathering, a gathering that came out from the city. But I wonder, was there anybody who said, and what's that woman talking about? God was moving? What? You know what I mean? How many people missed the move of God because they were asleep or entrapped by their entertainment? Or they were, lulled away into other things, and they missed what Jesus was doing on the face of the earth. You don't want to miss it. Mm-mm. You don't want to miss it because he's doing something right now, but you got to be in.
Right.
You got to be alert. You got to be ready. We talked about on VFN Radio this week being ready for the day of the Lord. You got to be dressed with a garment of salvation. You have to have oil in your lamp. You got to be abiding. Because how are you going to be able to discern the seasons and the times that we're in if you're not even spending time with the Lord? Let me tell you something. We're here to encourage you, to tell you that you can do that now. God is on the move. And wherever he goes, I want to go.
That's right.
You know, and whatever he tells you to do, you just want to do. Because he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's getting ready to do something. And I'm just so excited, man. I'm so excited because I know what the power and the glory of God can do to someone's life. I mean, I know what God did in my own life and what God's changed, you know, what God did to me. And then I know the testimony of what God has done to countless others I'm hoping that in the first hour we can talk about this, but we want to share Dolores Winder's testimony. Amazing testimony of the power of God and how he changed her life forever. But you really want to tune in. You want to tune in. Well, I want to share an opportunity that I had, Pat and Chris.
Yeah.
You know, I have been getting motivated as I've been hearing, you know, Greg talk from time to time about your physique and and your, you know, wonderful eating habits. And, I've been motivated. I've been listening.
Happy now.
You know, I've been listening. I've been observing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching you. And so I said, listen, if it's good enough for Brother Pat, it's good enough for me. And I said, I am going to do some working out. I'm going to do some opportunities to, you know, get okay. in another shape than the shape that I presently am in.
So now you're running around, what, two blocks instead of just that one?
No, I'm not running around two blocks.
Oh, you've upgraded.
No, I've upgraded.
Three blocks.
No, not three blocks. Okay. I wanted to try an innovative exercise that I used to do when I, you know, played football and was involved in sports. And
you played sports?
I did. Wow. I played a lot of sports.
There's a lot of things I don't know about.
Well,
you.
Hey, you better recognize. I played a lot of sports and did work out quite a bit in college. And those days have
come and gone.
Quickly faded. So I wanted to get back. You know, I'm trying to get back to a good, healthy place for sure, and a place where I can be in shape to do what God's called me to do. And so I decided one morning, I got just the inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I even heard the Rocky song coming in my ear. You know, I was getting ready. And I started
saying, I had a tiger.
I had
a
tiger, man. Right, I said, that's it. I can do it. You know, I thought about putting a picture of Rocky up for inspiration, but then I thought, man, I'll put a picture of Pat up. You know, I said, you know, get some inspiration here. You know what I'm talking about, Chris? he's amazed.
I am amazed.
So I get up, guys, right? I'm just, you know, stretching my arms back and, you know, I'm moving side to side. I can do this. You know, I can do this today. I'm going to do a regimen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got this thing planned out. Got my workout shorts.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you know what? I remember that, you know, part of training for football and practice was, you know, we got out there, we did our stretches.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then there was a conditioning, you know, getting your heart pumping.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting, you know, things flow. Because sometimes you just want to get something moving, you know. You're just walking all the time and just, you realize, man, I have not broken a sweat because of energy. Besides the heat, I'm breaking sweat, but I haven't moved fast enough to break a sweat. I'm on cruise control like at 3 miles an hour. I have no pep, you know, I haven't been moving at a faster pace. So I kind of wanted to get things rolling again, you know, wanted to get things moving.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yeah, you know, I remember about them jumping jacks. I remember when we used to do jumping jacks. Listen, I said, hey, I'm going to do this.
Those are dangerous exercises, from what I understand. Dangerous.
Yeah. Anyway, so I, you know, I'm doing these jumping jacks, and we could have made a workout video. Because I mean, the intensity.
You just sweating up a storm.
Man, I was going at it.
Tearing it up. Yeah.
And I'm looking.
What happened? Well,
I'm doing 20 looking at one wall.
Oh,
bam.
Oh, my goodness.
I got inspiration. I turned to the other wall, you know, like, you
wow,
know, north,
that is intense.
West. Oh, and I did another 20.
Different bam. Directions?
Different directions.
Oh, my
goodness. Just going. So I was up at 40. And I said, man, in my mind, I can't quit now.
Let's do 20 more.
Turned another wall.
Oh.
Just bam, another 20. Just, and by this time, my heart is pumping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel my legs are getting weak, but I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
Because I got one more wall
Come
to
on.
Do.
Come
I got
on.
One more wall to go.
You got one more.
So I turned and I'm hitting it. You know, everything's shaking. Goodness. Everything's moving.
Shaking,
you know?
The house.
Well, I'm not going to stop.
Knocking,
you know?
Stuff off the wall.
Terrified someone's going to walk in my office and see what I was doing.
Oh.
Did I lock that door? You know, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And I did the 80. You know, I broke a sweat. My body hadn't moved that fast in a while.
I'm sweating thinking about it.
Man, I'm telling you, I did it. But then
you pulled a hamstring.
No, I didn't pull a hamstring. I started walking. Funny, a few days later. And I couldn't imagine why I was feeling this pain in my body. Mm-hmm. And I found out later, I guess the Achilles, is that the part behind your heel? I guess
on the back of your heel.
The back of your heel.
Keep your foot on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe I almost lost my foot because, man, I had the most excruciating, the most pain I've ever felt on my foot in my life.
Wow.
Now, I'm sitting down, Chris. Y'all listen to this. I'm sitting down, and I'm feeling that back pain of my Achilles heel, and I'm thinking, did I rub my Achilles raw with my shoes or something? And I didn't know. You know,
did you have your dress shoes on when you were doing it?
No, I didn't have my dress shoes on. No, I didn't have my dress shoes on. No, I just went straight socks. You know what I'm saying?
Just socks.
Well, I wanted to be light on my feet.
That is very dangerous.
I wanted to be light on my feet. You know, I didn't want to wear the sneakers or nothing like that. You know, because I was doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I realized, so I touched the back of my Achilles. I'm thinking, man, there's nothing raw there. I don't feel anything. And I'm like, this is okay. You know, this is, you know, what's going on here? And so I'm like, my goodness, where's the pain? Where's the pain?
Yeah.
You know, where's it coming from? And nothing. You know, it's like, this is weird. So then I just ignored it. I said, well, it's just a one-time type of thing.
Right.
Then I began to walk some more. And I go, there it is.
You found it.
And I realized that when I extend my foot at a certain position, I have pulled something. Yeah. I have pulled.
You pulled your Achilles.
I pulled my Achilles. Wow. Now, I don't know what to say about this. You know, I was starting to get some flack, you know, because I wanted... If you heard my last workout routine, and we did make this available for you on the Torch, and I don't know, maybe we can put a series of this together. I mean, here to encourage you. Here to encourage you in all ways.
This is good stuff.
But I did have the run around the block.
I'm going to try this stuff out.
Well, you got to do the block, the block workout.
Mine is pulling my Achilles, course.
Well, you know, I wind up telling this story, you know, because... I was actually talking to my mother the other day, and my sons happened to be around, and we're talking. I said, oh, man, I just hurt my foot, and I began to tell her, you know, what happened. I said, you know, Mom, I was working out, and all of a sudden, I look at my sons, and there's a little smile coming across their face, and I said, what, did I miss something?
Eyes roll back in their head.
Yeah, did I miss something here? What was, they said, you were doing what? Is it, oh, working out. It's amazing how they think that, you know, what?
Dad don't work out. What are you talking about?
I never lifted a weight before. I mean, come on now. You can cut me some slack. But, you know, I'm getting back. I'm getting back in shape. I'm getting back to where I need to be because, you know what, at the end of the day, Pat, you know, we've got a lot of work to do for the kingdom. You do too.
That's right.
You do too. And you want to be healthy. You want to be healthy. I want to last for the long haul. And I want to get back in a better shape than the shape I am today. I'm in a shape, but I want to get back into the better shape so that I can continue to do more for God. You know, there's a lot of people that try to, you know, they're working out and, you know, you want to live forever. But I want to live, you know, as long as I can so I can do as much as I can for God. Because I know that a time is coming where, you know, I won't be here. You won't be here.
That's right.
And there's nothing like... That word regret,
yeah,
because you didn't do all that you could do in the time that you had to do it. And I want to encourage you, listen, seize that time, seize that opportunity. If we can encourage you with any additional workouts, I mean, maybe we can send you a poster of, you know, Pat, you can, and then you can do the block workout that I have. Now, that's a good one.
That's intense.
That's intense. And we're probably going to make this related for you on the Torch so that you can, you know, you... The stages of workout. Yeah, we had the block workout. Now we just showed you now the jumping jacks. I don't know what's next, but you definitely want to stay tuned.
Yes.
Because we'll be having another workout that we could share. But be careful when you're doing the jumping jacks. We don't want you to
hurt yourself
or anything like that. You know, we want to be very careful. Did you have any other workouts that you wanted to share?
No, nothing as painful as that one.
Well, I'm still nursing my foot, so if you see me still walking funny, just go ahead and pray for me, and we'll have more for you when we come back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're just talking about what God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. Is there something we prayed for a long time? You know, we prayed for a long time. And part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions, but I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yeah, he did sure that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And let you put
the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You abide. You hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go. Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me is Pat and Chris. And if you missed the break, we were talking about a special workout regimen that I tried out. If you want to make sure that you can catch that, please go to the Torch and be utterly amazed or fall out in your chair laughing. Well, you know, yesterday we talked and alluded yesterday to what has just happened in New York. You know, that we've talked early on when this policy first came out about stop and frisk policy and how this was unconstitutional. And a judge just ruled a few days ago that it was unconstitutional. This is a huge victory for the Constitution and for the citizens of New York City that had their rights violated. Right. I mean, this is so important. We were right from the very beginning. This has been going on for quite months now. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, listen, you can't just stop somebody. And just so that you understand, this is what the mayor, who is serving out his last bit of this term, this is what he said. He said that the tactic, stop and frisk tactic, which allows cops to search anyone regardless of whether they believe a crime has been committed, is an important part of the NYPD's record of success. Now, this is what he said. Listen to the statement again. This tactic, stop and frisk, which allows cops to search anyone regardless of whether they believe a crime has been committed, is an important part of NYPD's record of success. Well, the first part of that is that how can you search somebody if no crime has been committed? Mm-hmm. He didn't say probable cause. He said just if no crime was committed, allows you to stop. I mean, this is not good. What if you're just not doing, you're walking in your neighborhood? Listen, I've, you know, lived in Jersey, been to New York tons of times. I mean, there's people walking everywhere. There's people walking everywhere. And I know that the police have a job to have good friends that are police, have relatives that are police. I mean, we appreciate them, love them, and they do a great job. But there's others, you just can't have a policy, a blanket policy that allows it to stop. This is what the judge said. The judge said that it was completely unconstitutional. And what they have found is that a lot of racial profiling was happening because a large percentage of the people that were being stopped and frisked were minorities. And what they found, that although the mayor says this was successful, it was not successful because they found that a great majority of the people that they stopped were absolutely innocent. Mm. I believe the number was like 5,000 people that they stopped.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was less than 10% of the people that they stopped and frisked were not, you know, were innocent. So that means that the other large percentage of people had all their rights violated for no reason. Mm-hmm. Listen, the Fourth Amendment is very important. And this was a huge victory for the Fourth Amendment, a huge victory for the Constitution. But to give you a little bit of background about the Fourth Amendment, we want to share with you a segment that we entitled The Fourth Amendment and Why It Is Still Important. And we talk about Judge Napolitano and how he began to share, wrote this great article about the Fourth Amendment and the original intent of our founding fathers. Why this amendment is so important to us today? Because listen, they lived through it back then. Listen up. We're seeing just things change in America. Mm-hmm. We're seeing things change. And the verdict is out. If it's going to, you know, right now it seems like it's been changing for the worse. Right. But we're believing for a third great awakening, and we're believing for God to move powerfully in our nation. But we're also looking to defend our Constitution. We're looking for ways to honor what God, through his providence, allowed us to have. Mm-hmm. And it's this document that's kept us from not doing stuff like it's happening out there in Egypt. Think about it. And every elected official, you know, from the president to Congress to our judges, swear to defend the Constitution. Right. And Chris, my goodness. Anyway, so what's happening here, what's happening in all this, is that it's important that we know mm-hmm. about the Constitution.
Right.
And what we need to do. And so one of the things I want to share with you was an article that just came out by Judge Napolitano. Trying mm-hmm. to get that name out. Judge Napolitano. And he shared this arc, which I thought was just awesome, mm-hmm. but it called What Happened to the Right to be Left Alone? What Happened to the Right to be Left Alone? And we're talking about the Fourth Amendment. The mm-hmm. Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment is so powerful. As you may or may not know, Pat and I are on a VFN radio game show, okay? This game show is about the U.S. citizenship test that, mm-hmm. that people that want to become citizens of the United States have to take.
Right.
And they have to pass it in mm-hmm. order to become eligible to become a citizen.
Right.
And it's 100 questions to prepare. Mm-hmm. And Pat and I have been, we've had two rounds here, two rounds of mm-hmm. answering questions. We've
and I'm undefeated right now.
You know,
he does keep putting that out there, don't he, John?
Well,
and I have not been deported.
We have not gone to the self-deportation. We have not gone to the wisdom moment for the day, so let's...
okay.
But anyway, yes, he is doing very good. He said, I got softball questions the first day.
He did.
We're in round two. We're in round two. And tune in. See how we're going to do. In fact, I think tomorrow will be the game show is on. So
please
go Google up. Please, come fresh to see how much you know.
This is all my revelation.
So we're taking the time to being educated on the Constitution. What does it mean? And how important it is. Well, in this article, he talks about, you know, why the Constitution, how it came mm-hmm. came about, and the framers who wrote the Constitution, and why they actually put in the Fourth Amendment, because they suffered under the hands of the British king and the soldiers. It's just not, you know, these amendments are not just a good idea. The Bill of Rights are not just a good idea.
Right.
It's because people suffered and they said, we need to do something about this. We need to make sure that we have a government that it's going to protect us. And what was going on is that the King George at the time of Britain was looking for ways to get revenue from the colonists, right? Mm-hmm. And so he according to the judge, he devised this Stamp Act. And basically it was some legislation that required that every piece of paper in the home of every colonist, it's just a stamp, they had to have this stamp mm-hmm. that must have, the stamp had to appear on everything that was purchased. Okay, everything that was purchased by the government, you have to have the stamp on it. Mm-hmm. This is like books, letters, financial legal documents, even pamphlets to be distributed and posters nailed to the tree
had to have
the stamp, you know?
Right.
So it shows that you paid this tax. Mm-hmm. And so one of the questions he says, like, well, how did the king, who was 3,000 miles away in Great Britain, knew if there was a stamp on a book or something that you, how do you know if you paid for that stamp? Well, he says that what they did was that they had legislation that permitted the British soldiers to write their own search warrant in which they authorized themselves to enter the homes of the colonies and look for these stamps. Mm. So they just wrote their own, you know, search warrant. Oh, we're going to come into your house. We're going to open the door. We're going to, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have a stamp. What? You bought that on Amazon? Where's that? Let me see.
You
that
get a receipt
stamp.
For that?
You have a digital stamp on that iPad? let me see that. Let me mm-hmm. see that. So obviously this was unpopular. The people basically, you know, upon mm-hmm. many other things, you know. But obviously this is something that they didn't forget after the Revolutionary War. They didn't forget about this. Mm-hmm. So the Fourth Amendment requires that only judges could issue search warrants. Only judges, okay? And they would only do so if the government, you know, they presented enough evidence that a crime was about, you know, about the person. They had evidence of a crime about the person, right, or place that needed to be searched. There's specific language mm-hmm. That requires a search warrant, okay?
Right.
But what happened was, this was pretty good, but remember we talked in previous segments about the Electronic Communications Act of 1986, mm-hmm. right? This act, I mean, this is like serious deal because it was supposed to protect the privacy, but it actually did the complete opposite. It doesn't protect your privacy, and it had to do with digitally stored information. It had to do with digitally stored stored information. And what happens is that all your emails, mm-hmm. all of your digital data, okay, mm-hmm. Basically emails that are less than 180 years old, they have 180 days, they have to get a search warrant. But anything that's over 180 days, they don't have to get a search warrant for. This is unconstitutional. We shared about this. Why this is important? Because today, the Senate is meeting and they're examining a set of proposals, according to the judge, right? Senate proposals, which could have profound implications, he says, on our privacy. One proposal will allow federal agents to seize all digital data, even mere computer keystrokes, as they're being executed, as you're typing, without a search warrant. And the alternate proposal will protect all digital data from government seizure by requiring search warrants as a precondition for seizing any of it. Hello, this should be a no-brainer. This should be something that is very simple. I am glad that the Senate's actually looking at this. But listen, if we don't have protection, I mean, listen, we can go back. We can go back to where it was.
That's right.
The Fourth Amendment is the right of the people to secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, and shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued upon probable cause, supported by the oath, affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. We're talking about the Fourth Amendment rights and how important it is for us to know what happened. I mean, who knew? Who knew that the king was trying to just exact some taxes, passing out these stamps,
mm-hmm.
and they wrote an act that allowed their British soldiers to actually go and write their own search warrant to check to see if you had the stamp on your little book or whatever you bought.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just searching all your stuff. And they said, listen, when we leave these folks here, we start this new government, we need to have some rights. We need to have some protection. And up until, you know, here recently, we've had all pretty much this protection, but now with the internet and just emails and all this different type of stuff, you have all of this data, all of your personal information that's stored. And today, the Senate is looking at some major legislation that should hopefully control this, you know, could
mm-hmm.
hopefully say, listen, we need to defend the Constitution. This should be a real no-brainer. Right. But with the, you know, it's because there's the outdated law, the electronics, I believe it's the Electronics Communications Privacy Act, which in fact was no privacy at all. Any of your emails, on Google, Gmail, Yahoo, anything that's on that server over 180 days is considered abandoned. Think about that. And they do not need a search warrant to go and retrieve that information. Wow. Computer now is different, but if it's stored in a server and it's just outdated, it just needs to be fixed. Because I mean, think about it, the CIA's email, like, oh my goodness,
right? Won't be using that server.
Oh no, but none of them. And you think about even like what's happening in New York. The Daily the Call is reporting that the New York Police Department
mm-hmm.
they have been creating a database. Of logs from stolen cell phones without the victim's consent. So, you know, basically they're able to get the subpoena that basically includes to get the phone call records, mm-hmm. includes like the thief's calls made to and from the victim's phone and whether the number was transferred. Anyway, all that information is entered into a database, and they call it the Enterprise Case Management System, where each number is hyperlinked and cross-referenced with numbers in other records in the database. And it's like, what in the world? To you, your personal phone could be stolen.
Mm-hmm.
This is New York now.
Right.
And all this your information is just being taken off your phone.
Wow.
And they're really looking at, the courts are looking at the legality of all of this. But if you don't, the importance of what we're talking about today is that if you don't know what your constitutional rights. And we've had this conversation with people, and sometimes you hear people say, well, I don't have anything on you. Well, a lot of people don't, but mm-hmm. that's not the point.
Not the point, right.
It's not the point. If that's happening today, you know, could you imagine back when the colonists were like, well, I haven't bought anything on Amazon lately. I haven't bought a book. Who cares? I don't have a stamp. Mm-hmm. Until that day.
That's right.
You know, remember that absolute power corrupts absolutely. So
that's right.
We have checks and balances for a reason. And while we have it, I mean, while we live in America, while we have this great document, we at least should honor it, you know, respect it, try to keep it.
Exactly.
Because it allows us, you know, for us that are believers, to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can, trust me, if they can tear down one of these amendments, believe you me, there's others that, I'm saying that will.
That they're next, yeah.
Absolutely. So we can trust God and all that.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com. Or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. Less. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand. Maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com. And they'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope. But it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying, but I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream. Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFN TV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and you already like it. It's got the when you turn on your or open your VFN TV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also original intent and wisdom moments and
prophetic words.
And those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetize. But then at the bottom, you can choose live, like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's VVictor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. We need to build our relationship now, so we're understanding each other, and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king, as his kingdom, and the safety of his people.